Okay, welcome to Short Board Sukkah Style. We are... I'll speak loudly. Air is good. Okay, fine. Huh? There is going to be, God willing, one small gematria for the people of the class. We know we love gematrias in this school. Let's get going. Let's start. Yeah? You ready?
Yeah.
Pen and paper, everyone? You're interested in that? All right. We're going to... If I go too quickly, let me know. I'll slow down. We have eight maybe. And the time is short, so let's go. Why is Sukkot in the month of Tishrei? Why is Sukkot in the month of Tishrei? This is number one. Okay, why in Tishrei? So I'm gonna offer two answers right now. And then we're going to see another thing, and later on there might be a third answer. Okay, so the two answers we're going to go with right now are the following. The Tur, the son of the brush, very good. So the Tur answers this question as follows. He says, we could have done it in Nisan when we went out into the Midbar, and we got the Anani HaKavod, and we made the Sukkos Mamish. That would make sense to make it in Nisan. But, Mamash, what? Okay, it would make sense to make it in Nisan, because that's when we went into the Midbar. However, Nisan is also a time when it starts getting beautiful outside, and everyone's going outside, and everyone is, camping out outside, and going on their porch, and hanging out outside a lot. So it wouldn't be Nikar, it wouldn't be recognizable, it wouldn't be obvious that we're doing it for the mitzvah. Tishrei is when it starts getting a little bit colder. People stop going outside, they start coming inside. So the Torah writes, specifically in Tishrei, we want to express our gratitude to Hashem for the Anani HaKavod. And that is why we go out to show everyone that we are doing this for that reason and that reason alone. We're not going out because it's beautiful, although it happens to be it is beautiful. Sukkot is really nice outside here. But that is not what most people are doing. Most people are not building areas outside for this time of the year. They would be taking them down because the winter is coming. So that's why the Torah says we do it in Tishrei. Good?
Great.
Answer number one, the Torah. Okay, answer number two. This is from the Gra. The Gra was?
Vilna
Gaon. Hagon Reb Eliyahu. The Vilna Gaon. So he writes in his Perish on Shir HaShirim. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Dalid. He writes, when the Jews did the Chet HaEgel, they lost the Anani HaKavod. The Anani HaKavod went away. Only after they started rebuilding the Mishkan did they come back. When did that happen? When did they start rebuilding the Mishkan? So the Gruz says, Moshe comes down on which day? When was he granted forgiveness? What? Yud Tishrei, very good. Yeah, yesterday. Yom Kippur, Moshe gets forgiveness for the Jewish people, he comes down. The next day he tells them about the building of the Mishkan. That's Yud Aleph Tishrei. Then it says, Heim Heviu Baboker Baboker. They did two mornings of bringing. They brought on the 12th, and they brought on the 13th, all the materials that were necessary. On the 14th, they got everyone, all the professionals, they got together, and they took inventory of what they had. They started building the Mishkan on the 15th. On the 15th of Tishrei. What is that? That is Sukkot. Very good. So the Anani HaKavod came back. So the Vilna Gaon says, we are celebrating the fact that the Anani HaKavod came back. Not just the fact that we had the Anani HaKavod, but that Hashem returned them to us. That happened on the 15th of Tishrei. That is why Sukkot is the 15th of Tishrei. That's how the Vilna Gaon explains why we do it in Tishrei and not in Nisan. Good?
Awesome.
Two answers, okay? So if you're sitting at your table and someone's like, hey, why are we doing Tishrei? That makes sense. Okay, now you have two answers why it makes sense. And as I said, we will hopefully see a third approach, my own answer, why I think it might make sense that it's in this month. Any questions? Question. Not a Mishkan, not a Mishkan. We're building, it's like where it's Zecher L'Anani HaKavod. We're commemorating the fact that we had Anani HaKavod. So the Gra says, what's that? The Gra says that Anani HaKavod came back when they started building the Mishkan. Why is the Sukkah like the Anani HaKavod? Just like in the Midbar, the Anani HaKavod surrounded us and protected us. So too, the Sukkah is like the Anani HaKavod in that aspect. In fact, some people hold you have to have that in mind when you're sitting in the Sukkah, that your intention, your kavana has to be that you're doing this Zecher L'Anani HaKavod in commemoration of the Anani HaKavod. The Bach writes that that's even ma'akev, that if you don't have that in mind, you might not have done the mitzvah to its fullest. So have that, just have that little thing in mind that we're doing this for the Anani HaKavod. Okay? Yeah. Good time.
Okay, where does the bro get all that information?
Which information? The fact that
the date.
Well, Yud Tishrei, we know that's when Moshe came down. And then the Pasuk says I think he says that he told them about it on Yud Aleph. I guess he's assuming that. And then it says Baboker. The Pasuk says two times Baboker. And they view Baboker. So that's two more days. And then I think on his own he says that there was one day where they would gather everything together and take inventory. And then the last day they started building. Some of it's on his own, and some of it's based on Sukkah. Okay? So Gron Shir Shirim Aleph Dal. Okay, that's number one. Number two. Everyone ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Sukkot is a time of Achdus. A time of Achdus. How do I know that? There will be a Gematria, yes. There will be a Gematria. I'll save that for the end of this one. Yeah. But there's Achdus. How do we know that there's Achdus on Sukkot?
We all
know.
All the Jews are doing the same thing.
Okay, but that would be true with many mitzvos. But you're right. But the Gemara in Sukkah says we see, The Gemara in Sukkah says, I think Daf Chav Zayin, says that technically all the Jews in the entire world would be able to sit in the same Sukkah and fulfill their mitzvah all together in the same Sukkah. That's what the Gemara says. If there would be a Sukkah that big, we could all be Yotze in the same sukkah. Matzah, we can't be Yotze with the same matzah. We all need our own matzos. And other things we wouldn't be able to. But sukkah, the Gemara says, Kol Yisrael Yoshvim B'sukkah Achas. They could all be Yotze with one sukkah. So from the sukkah, we see this idea of Achdus with regards to the Yom Tov of Sukkot. More than just the sukkah. Also from the Dalaminim. Where are the Dalaminim? All one thing?
They all come together.
The Medrash says the Dalaminim represent different types of Jews. We have Dalaminim. Some of them have smell and taste. Some of them have smell, no taste. Taste, no smell. No taste, no smell. We have all the possibilities. And the Medrash says that represents different types of Jews. Jews with mitzvos and Torah, only mitzvos, none of the above. And what do? We take them. We hold them together. Right? And not only, it's a halakha, you have to hold them together. There was once a rabbi, I think his name was Rikanati or Rikanti, different ways to pronounce his name, and he would shake it with his lulav, hadassim, and arav was here, and his esrog over here, and he would shake it like this, and he had a dream that he saw Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei, and it was separate. There was Yud Kei Vav on one side, and the other Hey was on the other side. So he understood that to mean that he has to keep them together. You have to put all the dalaminim together when you hold them. That's halach in Shulchan Aruch. When you hold the Dalaminim, it should be, may I? Thank you. It should be like this, not this and this, this and this. Two hands. And where do you hold your sitter? I don't know. Good question. That's up to you. Put it like this. Sometimes you have to hold it like this. You know what I'm talking about?
What?
If you're holding a sitter, you got to balance it on your arms, kind of.
Well, you can have a poster up in your sukkah that has it on.
Or if you have a poster in your sukkah, or sometimes they make these sleeves, they make a bracelet.
No, they don't. Yeah,
not yes, they do. I did not make that up. I didn't make that up. Not a bracelet, like a piece of paper that has you put your hand through it.
That's outrageous.
No, that's not. It's not crazy. That's not the craziest thing I've ever heard. I'll try to bring one. It's not crazy, and that's good because if you're holding it like this, you can hold it like this and then do your thing and. Yeah, okay. That's halacha, you have to hold them together. So this is the idea also of Achdus, being one, unity. Okay, so we have both from the Sukkah and from the Dalaminim this idea of Achdus. Why is Sukkis the Yontif of Achdus? No. We just proved that it is. But why is Sukkis? Why was Sukkis chosen to be this one of Achdus? Why Sukkis? It's in Tishrei. Okay, I like that. I like this. Okay, we're gonna get back to that thought. But I think that the reason is I saw this in a sefer. The reason it was chosen as Sukkot to be the Yontif of Achdus. What is Sukkot all about? We just said we're commemorating the Anane HaKavod. Who in whose zechus did we get the Anane HaKavod? Aaron HaKohen. What's Aaron HaKohen known for? Oh, Shalom, Rode Shalom. He's all about Achdus. It's all about loving your fellow Jew. That's all Aaron. That's what Sukkot is all about. It's all about Achdus. It's all about getting together. You're going to see. You're going to go out. There's going to be Sukkot B'Shoevos. Everyone's going to be in a great mood. Everyone's going to be all friendly and everything. Sukkah hopping. What's Sukkah hopping? You go around to everyone else's Sukkah and you just hang out at everyone else's Sukkah. That's all about Achdus. We don't have Pesach hopping. Macaroons aren't delicious, maybe, but the chocolate lollipops are. We don't go around and get chocolate lollipops. Why not? Because that's not what it's about. Sukkah is about Achdus. We go to Sukkah. We go Sukkah hopping because it's all about Achdus. Okay, good. Now this will explain. This short for it is a little bit longer. It's a longer short for it. I apologize. You could divide it if you want when you say it over, but it's a little bit longer. So it's all about Achdus, and this explains why. One of the main themes of Sukkot is Mashiach. What do I mean by that? The Haftorah on both Shabbos Chol HaMoed and on the first day of Sukkot is about Gog u'Magog. What's Gog u'Magog? The war before leading up to Mashiach, the prelude to Mashiach. We say in the benching, we say, HaRachamon hu yakin lanu. At Sukkot David Hanufela. We're not talking about David's Sukkah. We're talking about Beis HaMikdash. Why are we talking about the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkot? Why is that like... we have a Harachim one for all the Yom Tovim, but for Sukkot we have a special one that we talk about the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because it's all about Achdus. How are we going to get the Beis HaMikdash back? Only through Achdus. Avas Chinam. Defeating the Sinas Chinam. Only through that we're going to get to the level of Achdus that's necessary for Mashiach. Okay? So the progression is like this. Sukkis equals... that's not a gematria. It doesn't equal Achdus. Which, because of Aaron, because that leads to Mashiach. That makes sense?
Why Aaron?
Because Sukkis is all about the Anani HaKavod. And the Gemara Tanya says, we got the Anani HaKavod because of Aaron's Zuchus. Okay, so that's Sukkot is about Achdus. The reason it's Sukkot is because Sukkot is all about Aaron HaKohen. And through the Achdus and the feeling of unity, we're going to get to Mashiach. Now we're going to get back to our first of our Torah. Why is Achdus what? What's Aaron all about? Aaron was Ohev Shalom V'Rodev Shalom. So you could, but it's just, you don't have to go. I don't know how to draw this better. That makes it more sense. Like that? Yeah? Does this make sense though? Okay, we're good? If you have a question, let me know. Alright, cool. Mashiach. And now we're going to get back to our first of our Torah, right? Why is Sukkot...
our first
of our Torah. Now I'm just answering that first question that we started with.
It's all the same.
This is a second short board, which also will answer the first short board. Yeah? Okay. Why is Sukkot in Tishrei? If the whole theme, this is my own, so feel free to argue. If the whole theme is about Achdus, so what better time than coming off of Yom Kippur? Right, Yom Kippur, what do we do Arab Yom Kippur? We go around, we say, are you mochalni? I'm so sorry. I feel bad. And there's this feeling of togetherness on Yom Kippur. So coming off of Yom Kippur, there's no better time to celebrate a Sukkot, a Yontif of Achdus, than in Tishrei, a few days later. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense? Yeah. I thought it made sense.
Yeah, that's great.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That's what you said, right? That's what you said?
Yeah,
okay, great. You guys are great. Okay, and just to tie this all in, yeah, you ready? The word sukkah in Mispar Katan.
What?
Do we know what that means?
Nope. Yeah.
Okay, we're taking away the zeros. There are no zeros involved. So Samach is no longer 60. It's now 6. And Kaf is no longer
20.
It's now 2. And Hey is still 5. That equals 13. That equals? No.
Echad.
No, it doesn't equal Hashem. Relax. Sometimes sukkah is spelled with a vav, sometimes without a vav. I didn't take away a random letter. I didn't take away the samach. I didn't write buka. Questions? I didn't make it up. It's not a made up mushroom. That's a real one. Achva? Ahava, yeah. Very nice. Are we good with the short board up until the last part?
Yes.
The last part you're not happy with. But up until that, we're okay? Yes. Everyone, yeah?
Yes.
It's not canceling out the zero. There's different types of gematria. There's gematria, which is regular, and then there's gematria, which is called mispar katan, that there are no zeros involved.
So, who decided that?
A mispar katan gematria? I think Moshe Rabbeinu. I think that came down from our Sinai, I'm pretty sure. Bring it down. It's hot in here, yes?
What?
They said it's hot.
No.
Okay, good. No, not at all. Okay. All right, next, moving on. Number three. Yeah, number next. Okay. All right. This one's not gematria, but it has to do with letters. Are we okay with that?
Yeah.
Hebrew letters. Okay. There are different types of letters in the Hebrew alphabet. This is going to be interactive. I'm going to need your help. Shani, don't open
it. I think you just want to do a split.
Do a split, yeah.
Do a split. Have you
Okay, there are different types of letters. Hey. Okay. Zashratz, Bumaf, Gichak, Acha, and Datlanis. You should write it.
What is that?
Different types of letters in the Hebrew alphabet. These are all 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet.
I'm sorry, what?
Aleph. You can find them. Beis.
Gimel.
Really? Does it do it all? We know all the letters. We're good. So these are them. Trust me.
Why not?
Let's take the word sukkah. This one with a vav. For all the people who wanted to. Okay, everyone, say the letter samech.
Samech.
Say it again. Samech.
Samech.
Where does it come from in your mouth?
Teeth.
I can't.
I'm gonna this.
These letters. The Zashratz letters all come from your teeth. Zion, Samach, Shin, Resh. Sadik. Okay? those are shinayim. Those are from your teeth. Okay. Excuse me. What? Pei.
Yeah. Reish does not come from your teeth.
Reish. That's how you say it. That's how you say it. Reish. Don't ask me questions. Okay, let's take the
How
next.
How am I going to do this at the table? I'm going to ask.
You're going to do it at the table. Okay, so that's Samach. That's Samach. This is from the Shinayim. Okay, the Vav. Where does Vav come from? The Vav. Lips. Okay, let's take all the letters. Bet. Vav. Mem. Bet. Those are called lip letters. Shinayim. Everyone good so far? Is everyone good so far?
Yeah.
What's no?
This is such a stretch.
Zion. My parents are speech therapists, and my kids all need—they all need speech therapy. And she's like, I understand why, because apparently I'm a mumbler. I didn't know. My kids can't understand what I say, so they don't learn proper speech. So I have to pronunciate. Bet. I said enunciate.
Here, you can talk into my phone.
Okay, next one.
I'll probably be saying
Where does cough come from?
The throat.
Wait, what does the key?
Throat, good. This is from the. One second. Nuh-uh.
Wait.
Cough's not. It's not really from your throat. It's more of a guttural. It's in the back of. It's back here. It's like in the back.
So it's not your throat.
It's called the chaych, the palate, but it's like the back up of your mouth.
But isn't the resh also from the throat?
I think you're stretching the resh.
Okay, let's do these letters. Gimel. Gimel. It's not from your throat. Gimel. Yud. Chaf. Chaf. Those are from like the back. What?
Gimel?
Where do you say the gimel from? Where? I'll tell you who this is from. This is all introduction. We're gonna get there. What? Where's gimel from?
I don't think about where the words come from.
Now you will. Gimel. Okay. Okay, let's get the last one. Hey.
Wait, where do you call that?
That's from the chaych. I believe a chaych is like the palate or the back of the throat.
But don't chat and cough sound the same?
Right, but clearly they're different letters, so they have to sound different. I'm not even as a joke. Like, we agree that they have to sound differently?
Again.
So apparently they're different enough that one's from a different part of the throat. I'm not making this up. This is like a lot of Rishonim talking about this. This is an idea. Okay? This is all from the Vilna Gaon.
He's so fancy.
Okay. Hey. Where's hey come from? Hey, that's from your throat. Hey. Right? If I were smarty, I would say, hey. Hey. Say it.
I'm not smarty.
No, but
do it.
You can probably do it better than I can.
What?
Just do it.
Just say the letter hey.
I can't do
the
hey.
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 Not hey. Hey.
I don't know that you're doing it fine. I give you the Sparty Award.
Thank you. Okay, these are from the Garon. Okay, that's Aleph. Hey. Het. Ayin.
Okay, fine. See
that's coming from Heh. Aleph.
You should get Rabbi Turetsky. Get Rabbi Turetsky down here.
Aleph. I don't need Rabbi Turetsky. I got the Smarty Award.
No one who's not as far.
Okay, we are missing one type of letter. What type of letter is that? Where do these come from? Dalet. Lamed.
Your tongue.
Head. Nun. No, this is tongue. Try saying this with your tongue. Impossible. We call these. So they're just called Lashon. They're called tongue.
But they're not in the
circle. Lashon, tongue. Alright, yeah. So the one letter that's missing from the word sukkah, one type of letter, is the letters that come from the lashon, from the tongue. So the Vilna Gaon writes, the sukkah is a very powerful tool to help us fight against Lashon Hara.
Why?
Because we're surrounding ourselves with the other types of speech, and we're leaving the tongue out, the sukkah, we're surrounded on all four sides.
Wait, we're
taking out
the vav now?
No. Vav is a bumaf. Vav's a lip letter. Vav. That's not tongue.
Wait, what was vav?
Vav.
Oh, you didn't write. Okay, you didn't write down there.
Oh, you're right. Sorry.
How long have you been waiting to tell us this one?
What do you mean?
It's like a very cool one.
Okay, do we understand this? Yeah?
Where's the chaf?
Where's the chaf? In what?
That's a What's that?
Like the back of your throat, but not your. Not your throat, like the, your palate, your. Chaf. Chaf. Yeah?
Why would you say.
Het is more. Het. Chaf. Het. Maybe we should start saying it like that. This is a Vilna Gaon setting. Vilna Gaon. I'm not doing the whole alphabet now. Okay, everyone understand this? The Vilna Gaon? How are you going to say it over the sukkah? Say the sukkah is... The Vilna Gaon writes, the sukkah is a place which is very misugal to fight against Lashon Hara. How do we see that?
We don't
because
have any
the word sukkah,
examples.
The word, this is your example. The word sukkah is made up of four Hebrew letters, different types, from your lips, from your teeth, from your palate, from your throat. And the letters that represent, you don't have to go through all the letters, and the letters that represent your tongue are absent. They're not in the word sukkah. You don't use your tongue. Say the word sukkah. Sukkah. You don't have to move your, I didn't move my tongue at all. Sukkah. Sukkah.
Sukkah.
No, no, no. That just means your tongue is in the way. That's like saying. Right? Your tongue can't be in the way, but you don't need your tongue to pronounce the word. Sukkah. My tongue didn't move. Sukkah. Whatever. That's where we're going. Okay? Do you want to have another idea, the same idea about something else?
Yeah.
In Judaism?
Yeah.
Just, I think that's a nice idea in general. Not sukkahs related, but it's a nice idea in general. The word yishtabach.
Oh, like davening.
Like the first word of the prayer, yishtabach. Yeah, in davening. It is made up of five letters. If you look at the word yishtabach, it's made out of one of each type. Yud from this, shin from there, from there, bet from here, and chet from here. Yishtabach, what are we saying? We're about to praise you, God. Yishtabach, I'm praising you with all five forms of letters, all types of Hebrew letter. Oh, that's a nice idea.
Yeah.
You don't have to. Okay, moving on. Let's see the next one. Okay, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. Avodah Zarah Gimel Amud Aleph says that the nations of the world turn to Hashem. Lassid Lavo, they're going to turn to Hashem, and they're going to say, it's not fair. If we had the mitzvahs, we would have done them. And what does Hashem say to them? What does Hashem say?
You were offered an offering.
What?
I offered
this. He did offer them, but he gives them another chance. Mitzvah, kala, yesh, li. I have one easy mitzvah. What's that easy mitzvah?
Sukkah.
This is a Gemara. The Gemara of Ozara, said on Daf Gimel, says, Lassid Lavo, the Umos HaOlam, the nation of the world, turn to Hashem, and they say, it's not fair. If you had given us the mitzvos, we would have done them also. Give us some mitzvos, we'll do them. So Hashem says, you want mitzvos? Fine, I'll give you mitzvos. I have mitzvah kala yeshli. I have an easy mitzvah. Which one is that? Which mitzvah is easy? Sukkah. Sukkah. The Gemara says, Sukkah is an easy mitzvah. That's what the Gemara says. So the question is, how... Why are we classifying sukkah as an easy mitzvah? Of all the mitzvahs that we do, sukkah is one of the maybe the hardest ones, right? We have to actually build something. We have to hammer nails it. We gotta build it, and then we gotta put the schach on top. And it's not so easy. It's not the easiest thing. Why does the Gemara say mitzvah kala, referring to the mitzvah of sukkah?
Because
Irene, you have an answer?
Yeah, because whatever you do in the second half.
Okay, and meaning? Why is it called so? Meaning it's still a lot of effort, so I have to put in a lot of sweat. Okay, that's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, good, hold. Very good. Okay, so this is from Rav Moshe Wolfson. Rav Moshe Wolfson. He answers this question the following. He gives a mashal. He gives a parable. He said, let's say you have somebody and he works 12 hours a day for a week straight in the mines, getting diamonds and gold and really valuable things. But he works for a week straight. After a week, he comes out and he has $1 million. Would you say he worked very hard, or would you say he did not work very hard?
He did not.
Why would you say that?
Because it all came from one place.
He would say, after a month later, you would say he got $1 million without having to work very hard. He worked very hard for that week, but he got a humongous award without putting in a lot of time. He was able to get this huge award, huge reward. Very, very soon after he started. So Rav Moshe Wolfson says the same thing with regards to the mitzvah sukkah, right? This is Shoshana Irene. I think this is what you guys were saying. But the mitzvah sukkah is such a great mitzvah. In the davening on sukkahs, we actually say that the mitzvah sukkah is shakula keneged kol mitzvos. It's equal to all the mitzvos. So we have something that God says, listen, you want a mitzvah, you want to do the mitzvos? I'll give you a chance to do all the mitzvos in one shot. You're going to have to put in a little effort. It's going to be a little bit difficult. But the reward, in comparison to the effort that you're putting in, is nothing. It's nothing. We're calling this a mitzvah kala. I'm going to give you the easiest way to do all the mitzvos. And what happens, we know the Gemara says that Hashem takes the sun, makes it very hot, and the Goyim, they leave the sukkah, and on their way out, they kick the sukkah. They say, nah, it's not for us. And even though Jews also are putter if it's really hot, but we wouldn't kick the sukkah on the way out. That's the difference. The Gemara says we would never kick the sukkah. We'd be upset that we don't get to do the mitzvah of sukkah as opposed to the Goyim. This test also, they are going to fail. But that's why the Gemara calls it mitzvah kala, because of the tremendous reward. This is actually, the Vilna Gaon writes, one of two mitzvahs that we can do with our entire body. This and Yishev Eretz Yisrael. Right, living in Israel, the two mitzvahs, the Vilna Gaon writes, so you can
also
do with your entire body.
Mikvah.
Okay, mikvah is a good question. Maybe it's not a mikvah. No, maybe it's not a mitzvah. Maybe it's a hechsher mitzvah. Okay, that's a good question. That's a very good question about mikvah. But the Vilna Gaon writes, with regards to sukkah and living in Israel, we get to go into the mitzvah. We get to put our whole body into the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah kala when we think about the tremendous hashpa'ah, the tremendous effect that the mitzvah has on us. Yeah, Irene, question. The Gemara says. That's what God said. I don't know. They have bechira. He's not telling them they have to, but he's saying, "I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen." Yeah, I don't know. Good question. Okay, moving on. Have you ever heard of the following minhag? There's a minhag. For huh?
Is this like number 5?
Number 5. Yes. There's a minhag for pregnant women to take a bite of the esrog.
No.
Have you ever heard of such a minhag?
No.
What? For an easy birth, yes. Your mom did it. My wife did it. Okay?
What?
I think so.
What'd she do?
She had a 20-minute labor.
What? What'd she do?
There's a minhag to eat, take after sukkahs, not on sukkahs, after sukkahs, to take a bite of an esrog.
Like,
you can peel it and then take a bite of the fruit.
Is it good? What if you're not pregnant?
It's very tart. Apparently it used to be very medicinal. They used to think there were a lot of benefits of eating esrog. Nowadays you have to double check though, because they use a lot of pesticides. So you want to make sure that it's okay to eat.
People come to it.
Yeah, people cook it. They make jelly. What? Cool. Okay. Yeah, people use it. Where does this minhag come from? Where does the minhag come from? Anyone know? Okay, so I'm going to tell you what my rabbi told me. My rabbi told me the minhag comes from the following. What was the itzadas? Which tree was the itzadas? Okay, a big machlokas, but there is one opinion that says that the itzadas was an esrog. What happened to the itzadas? Chava ate it, and because she ate it, she had hard labor. They don't get it yet. I mean, maybe you do. Maybe you got it. I want to make sure everyone gets it. What? To take a bite of an esrog after sukkahs.
Only for pregnant?
Pregnant woman. Yeah, no. For an easy labor.
You save it until you're pregnant?
Like, save that. You get a new one. Oh, you mean,
Like, let's say you're pregnant, like, this time of the year.
If you're expecting in May or whatever, so take a bite then. Take a bite after sukkahs. No, right after sukkahs, take a bite.
No, let's say you're
Then okay, so then you won't do this minhag. You don't have to. It's not like a, it's a segula. It's not even a minhag. It's really just like a segula. Where did it come from? So anyway, so Chava ate from the Eitzadas, which according to some people was an esrog. The Medrash also tells us that if Chava had waited, the Eitzadas would have become mutter. That Hashem said, "Don't eat from it." That was only a one-day thing. They had been able to hold off and wait until Shabbos, or after Shabbos, then the Eitzadas would have been mutter. They would have been allowed to eat from it. So according to this, if Chava had waited, there would have been no childbirth pain.
So why are you going to continue?
So what are we doing? We say, if I, as a woman, had been there, I would have waited. How am I showing that? Because I didn't eat it the whole 7 days of Sukkot. I didn't touch it. I mean, I touched it. I shook it. But I didn't eat it. I was able to hold off. And only after Sukkot do I eat it. So I'm telling Hashem, I don't deserve this punishment. If I were there, I would have waited. So that's where some people have this segula to take a bite of an esrog. That's where it comes from. Good? Are we clear? Absolutely. Chava ate from it. If she had waited, then she wouldn't have had this punishment. By us waiting till after Sukkot, we're basically telling Hashem, if we had been there, we would have waited. And then therefore, we're not deserving of the punishment. Good? Yeah, everyone? Good? Okay, that was, this was, I thought, an interesting thing. Come again, what? I don't know who said it. I heard it from Rav Schechter, but I don't know who says it. I'm not sure. There are different minhagim. There's also segula to eat the pito. That's a different segula. Not to eat the actual esrog, just to bite the pito off. Huh? Similar idea. That basically I'm saying, if I had been there, I wouldn't have eaten the fruit. I'm just biting the pito off. Pito's not a fruit. It's just like the thing that attaches it. No, you bite it off and you spit it out. So I'm saying, assuming that it was the Eitzadas was an esrog, if I had been there, I wouldn't have eaten the actual fruit. I would have just taken a bite of the tree, which was not usher. Just the fruit was usher. So that, I don't deserve the punishment. Similar idea. Okay. All right. Number six. Okay, there's a Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash Tanchuma tells us that Sukkot is Rishon. Here, let me write it. Six. Okay, this was. This is from Rav Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchev, the Barditchever. I'll write it. I do not know.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Sukkot, the Medrash tells us Sukkot is Rishon L'cheshbon Avonot. Rishon L'cheshbon Avonot. Okay, this is the last one. Last one. Maybe one more. Okay, almost last one. There's one more thought after, but then, yeah. Rishon L'cheshbon Avonot, yeah? That this is the first day of the counting of our Averos, which seems to be imply that from Sukkot until, from Yom Kippur until Sukkot, we don't have any Averos count against us. That's what it seems to be saying. So what does that mean? Like, how can that be? If I did an Avera between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, it doesn't count? What does that mean? How is Sukkot Rishon L'cheshbon Avonos? Yeah? So Rav Levi Yitzchak answers. Rav Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchev, he answers. It doesn't mean that there are no Averos between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. That's not what it means. It means that when we do Teshuvah Meira, what happens to our Averos? If we repent out of fear of God, what happens to our Averos? They're not gone for completely. They become like Shigagos. They become like accidental Averos, meaning Hashem will take them down a level, right? If I did them on purpose, Hashem will make all those things that I did on purpose accidental. He'll view them as if I didn't do them on purpose. Let's say I do Teshuvah Me'ahava.
Like
1 second. If I do Teshuvah Me'ira, so the Gemara tells us that our Zedonos, our intentional Averos, become Shigagos, they become unintentional Averos. God will, in his mercy and his kindness, will take all our intentional Averos and make them into Shigagos, into unintentional Averos, which is beautiful, it's a great thing. But a higher level of Tshuva is Tshuvah Me'ahava. I love God so much. Not that I'm afraid of what he's going to do to me, but I love him so much that I feel, how could I have done this to him? I feel so bad. How could I have sinned against him? What happens to our Averos in that case? The Gemara says, our Averos become like Zichuyos. They become like mitzvos. Yeah? So Rav Levi Yitzchak says, what happens on Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, we're doing tshuva, and hopefully it should be a tshuva me'ava, but a lot of times it's tshuva me'ira, where it's a day of awe. They have fear. We're afraid. So we do Tshuva Meira. But Sukkot, that is when we are able to express our Ahava towards Hashem. So our Averos become like Zichuyos, that Hashem will take our Averos and make them into mitzvos somehow. Whatever that means. That the Gemara says. Our Zedonos become like Zichuyos. So that's what this Medrash means. Rishon L'cheshbon Avonos. It's the first day that we want our Averos to count. We want them to count. Because our Averos are now all mitzvos. That's our Lady of Success. Right? That we're taking the love of Sukkot and the love of Hashem that comes out on Sukkot and taking that to our, and using that to our advantage to turn our Avonos into mitzvos. Rishon L'cheshbon Avonos is the first day for counting our Averos. Because we're happy that our Averos would count now, because our Averos are all becoming mitzvos. That make sense? Okay, good. Okay, just one last thought. It's not really a short vort, just a thought for everyone. The Chida writes that after Sukkot, right after Sukkot, it's a time to really immerse yourself in Torah and Avodah. Why after Sukkot? Because the whole year is going to be based on the beginning of the year. And the beginning of the year, up until now, has been Rosh Hashanah, and Atzeres Yemei Teshuvah, and Yom Kippur, and now Sukkot. He says that doesn't really set the tone for the year. What sets the tone for the year is when you come back, he doesn't say come back, but when you're finished with Sukkot, and you get to Cheshvan, and there's not all these distractions or outside events, that's what's going to set the tone for the entire year. So the Chida, he lived a few hundred years ago. He was already saying how Cheshvan is the most important time in terms of determining the rest of the year. So just keep in mind when towards the end of Sukkot, try to jump right back in. Yeah. All right, that's it. And I brought cookies.
How do I turn this off?
Yeah.
Stop. Oh, shoot.
I pressed that already. Okay. No.